39. Caleb. Caleb's eyes were closed, but he could still see. His mind was connected across the collective to a trife on its way to Sinisco. He wasn't directly controlling the Relia creature, but observing its desperate scramble across the landscape, pushed to the north by an unstoppable force which itself was only a minute away from colliding with an immovable object. It hadn't been easy to bring trife into the area. Between Sheriff Duke, the Goliaths, and the Jaxcluth, the demons were in short supply in the region. Most were disorganized and relegated to tiny nests that didn't have the energy or the numbers to make a queen. It had taken nearly 20 minutes for Caleb to locate a suitable nest through the collective, and another hour to bring the trife closest to the city heading toward it. The group he had found didn't have a queen to lead them, which made passing instructions to them more challenging. But trife were simple creatures, driven by programmed instinct and fixated on a simple instruction. Find humans. Kill humans. It was the instruction that had given Caleb control. The instruction the trife knew best. He didn't need to order them to follow it so much as plant the seed in their minds that there were humans nearby. He had fed them a sense of a human settlement, a taste, a smell. The small nest had latched onto that idea, and genetics had done the rest, sending them scrambling out from the hollowed pile of rubble where they were hiding and causing them to race across the landscape in Caleb's general direction. A handful of trife didn't present much aid against the Jaxcluth, but Caleb hadn't tricked the creatures into coming because he expected them to fight. He had already witnessed thousands of them dying to the much larger and more powerful aliens, easily outmatched, even when they outnumbered their opponents 1,000 to 1. The 20 or so trife he had captured didn't have a chance at surviving what lay both ahead and behind them. He hadn't summoned them to fight. He had brought them here because of what they could attract. They weren't the perfect weapon, but they were the perfect bait. Like a worm dangling from a hook, Caleb had cast them out into the open and reeled them in with the hopes of capturing a much bigger prize.
I give you credit for your creativity, but this plan is doomed to fail.
Caleb ignored Ishek's negativity, maintaining his focus on the lead trife. The ground shuddered again as the Goliath behind the demons took another step. The vibrations sent signals of warning and panic through its brain and telling it that if it didn't run faster, it would wind up in one of the large hands reaching for it. It knew it was little more than a tiny morsel for a very hungry giant. Caleb couldn't turn the trife's head to look back, but he could sense the Goliath behind the demon. He could smell its horrible scent and hear it grumbling. He could feel the air shifting as it took large steps in pursuit and the ground moving when it landed. He was aware every time one of the other trife didn't move fast enough and was caught up by a Goliath, lifted to its horrible grinding maw, and devoured without hesitation. The buildings of Sinisco rose on either side of the diminishing group of trife. The steel, glass, and concrete structures were battered, broken, and coated in layers of dark, solidified slime left during the Jaxcluth's entry to the city. The three Jaxcluth were approaching on a direct collision course with the trife, tentacles undulating and writhing ahead of them. Caleb knew instinctively the trife weren't the Jaxcluth target, but the trife didn't seem to understand that. The one he was observing hissed when it identified the enemy threat, coming to a sudden stop that nearly cost it its life. It was lucky, because the Goliath chasing it noticed the Jaxcluth at the same moment the trife stopped moving. Instead of reaching for the trife, it straightened up, grumbling so loudly the sound reverberated through the streets in a terrifying echo. The Jaxcluth replied with a groan of its own, tentacles pulling back and helping propel the Relia forward to attack. The trife got trapped between the two sides. It barely made the leap over one of the tentacles as the Jaxcluth approached. Another nearly crushed it as it attempted its escape. For a moment, Caleb thought the creature might make it. Then another limb grabbed and wrapped around it, lifting it high into the air. The Jaxcluth, still clutching the terrified trife, reached the Goliath, stretching its empty tentacles to grapple with a massive leg. The Goliath reached for the Jaxcluth, but it redirected its tentacles to catch the hand. Its limbs caught the Goliath's fingers, tensing at full extension and fighting to keep the hand away. The effort kept the Goliath's arm in place for a second before the tentacles gave out. The Goliath wrapped its fingers around the mass and lifted it. Caleb's trife remained trapped as the Jaxcluth struggled to break free, groaning and flailing in the Goliath's overpowering grip. Caleb thought the Goliath would eat the Jaxcluth, but it brought its hand back down instead, crushing it against the street, the force of the impact collapsing the already damaged side of a building. The tentacle went limp, setting the trife free. It rolled away from the dead Jaxcluth and tried to run, making it three steps, before a second Goliath scooped it up and threw it toward its mouth. Caleb severed the connection before the trife was eaten, his eyes snapping open and glancing quickly around the interior of the tank.
"Colonel?" Hicks said, noticing Caleb's panic.
"I'm fine," Caleb replied. "The targets are engaged. Sheriff Duke, the path is clear."
"Pause," Sheriff Duke replied, his voice growing more distant as he spoke into his comm badge.
"All convoys follow the mark. Stay on target. Do not deviate. The Centurions will handle any stragglers."
There was no response from the convoy leads, including Hicks. The tank vibrated a little more violently as its velocity increased and it came around the corner. Caleb looked at the displays in front of the cockpit, relying entirely on cameras to project the world outside. They had entered the corridor leading out of the city, the same passage they had been in earlier. The large Jaxcluth Caleb had killed was still occupying the left side of the street, while more bodies, both human and alien, were cast across the road.
"Second time's a charm," Hicks said, noticing Caleb looking at the displays. "We'll make it out this time."
"No, we won't."
"We will,"
Caleb said, shifting his eyes to check the other views. The ground rumbled, a noise like an explosion sounding to their left. A Jaxcluth body flew across the street, crashing into the side of a building and bringing the remains of the structure down on it. A Goliath stepped toward them, towering over the convoy with its mouth hanging open.
"As long as that thing leaves us alone."
The tank had the lead position in the convoy, guiding the line of nearly two dozen vehicles toward the monstrous humanoid. Stopping to wait wasn't an option, not with the Jaxcluth nearby.
"It may need a distraction."
Caleb closed his eyes again, entering the collective in search of a nearby trife. He could sense the nodes on the Relia network as if the universe were an endless heat map. The closest aliens were like a spot of sunlight against his skin. Their position within the Relia hierarchy was in part determined by their strength within the collective. Caleb was hesitant to reach too far out for fear of drawing Vite's attention or accidentally stumbling on the Axon's quantum network, but past experience had taught him that Shub-Niggu was the brightest star in the collective universe. The ancient Relia's heat was still palpable from thousands of light years away. He hadn't told Sheriff Duke and the others about Vite's direct line to the center of the Relia collective. He wasn't sure they would understand, and even if he did, he wasn't sure what it would mean to the current situation. Vite had already gleaned the most important information from the collective, the location of Proxima. Now he was after Dr. Valentine and the other Relia ancients. As far as Caleb knew, all of humankind's secrets had already been revealed. There were no trife left now anywhere within Sinisco. There had been only a handful before, and the Goliaths and Jaxcluth had quickly taken the rest out. Caleb could feel the Jaxcluth, though. Their beacons were larger and hotter, threatening to burn him if he got too close. He opened his eyes to Hicks's panicked face.
"Sheriff, what do we do?" he asked.
Caleb looked at the display. The Goliath was directly in front of them, looking down at the approaching convoy.
"Parabellum is incoming," Stacker said.
Caleb tried to find the dropship on the displays. He couldn't see it, but he saw its plasma cannons begin peppering the Goliath, the bursts of gas burning deep into its flesh. It howled and turned as the Parabellum flashed past, taking a swipe at the aircraft. It missed badly, but the distraction allowed Hicks to guide the tank around its left leg. A glance at the vehicle's sensors showed the convoy duplicating the move. There was virtually no chance they would all make it past before the Goliath recovered. The plan to bring the Goliaths in to distract the Jaxcluth had worked too well. The giants were overwhelming the enemy faster than Caleb would have guessed, leaving them free to attack the convoy before the convoy made it clear. Without any trife left for them to devour, there was only one way Caleb could think of to distract the Goliaths.
I need to overpower a Jaxcluth, he said.
What?
Hicks replied.
Caleb, we aren't strong enough. We have to be.
Caleb shut his eyes a third time, using Eshek to return to the collective. Sergeant Walt's Relia parasite had managed to freeze the Jaxcluth before, and while it probably had help from Vite, it still needed to bear the brunt of the effort. If it could do it, then he and Eshek should be able to do it too. Their shared bond made both of them stronger.
We can't do it. Their minds are different. We could become trapped.
Caleb couldn't guess how different the Jaxcluth mind might be, and he didn't have time to question the opportunity. If he didn't find a means to pull the Goliath away from the convoy, their second attempt to escape would likely end even more badly than the first. He located the closest node, so bright and hot it burned his mind to turn toward it.
Caleb, please don't do this. There is no other way. We promised the survivors we would get them to safety.
It was a promise he had to keep.